Then he cried just south of Nashville, and he turned that car around. He said, "This is where you get off, boy, 'cause I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank." He said, "Ripper, can you make
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. So to come up, still coming on the program, Shane Stringer, state representative from Citronelle. That's in about an hour, and then about 2 hours, for whatever reason, Adele Jackson, Yellowhammer News and News Talk 770 up in Huntsville will be with us, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, a guy trying to work into rotation occasionally, but we're glad he can make time for us this morning. Very busy schedule. Greg Davis from ALCAP is on the line and Priority Talk Radio up in Birmingham. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for making time. Thanks for coming on. We do appreciate it. Well, a few things to get to here. And briefly, see gambling making kind of, and we're a long way from the 2025 session, but the chattering class and well, even some lawmakers like Garland Gudger from Coleman talking already, like, we're going to take another shot at it. We are only one vote short. Now, his colleague Sam Gavan last week said, well, that's not really true. You got to have a majority of the Republican caucus for it to even get to the floor for consideration. But what do you think of that? Already start early kind of here on trying to revive gambling.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know, immediately following the session, the talk was, okay, that's it. We're not going to do any more with it, you know. But I'm not surprised. I mean, to be that close to getting something so important to so many people for nefarious reasons, you know, they could just taste it. And so I'm sure that the gambling advocates have just stayed right after it. And so I'm not surprised. I do think it would have to start in the Senate. I don't really think the House, I think they've kicked it back to the Senate now, said, you guys start it. And they would probably pass something if it got sent over to them. But one of the things that I think is funny is, you know, you hear this talk of, a lottery only, you know, can't pass because of special interest. But the truth is, none of this can pass because of special interest. And if it does pass, it's because of special interest. You know, somehow it's like, oh, the special interest are the bad people and they won't let everybody have a lottery. But look, the casinos, the sports betting, the people who tend to become filthy rich off of this advancement of gambling, it's all special interest. And so, none of this is going to pass or not pass without special interest. Everybody really needs to realize that. There's not a groundswell of support out there for gambling. You know, there was at one time, I'm at the State House every single day they're in session. Jeff, and you're there a lot as well. There was at one time a group of people showed up advocating for gambling. Not once. And people advocate for everything. The IVF people were there. You know, I mean, not one time. This is totally a top-down thing. It comes from special interest and interested lawmakers. And so it's special interest all the way.
It's interesting. I mean, I think that's spot on, Greg. These guys try to create this narrative that, like, there was this, like, I'd never seen this before, like the tail wagging the dog. Well, I've seen it before, but not quite to this extent. They try to create this narrative that there was that. Like, so they never spent more time trying to convince the public that they want something. And they put out poll after poll showing, well, the people of Alabama overwhelmingly want a lottery and the polling numbers. Kelly and Conway was hanging out around Alabama earlier this year. It was always that. It was like, you want this thing. You really do. And therefore, we're going to do it for you. And then I would never was a big believer in that.
Well, I wouldn't say, you know, I would say there are people out there that want it, but I don't think there's a very small group of people maybe that are very passionate about it. You know, if you poll people and ask them, do they want to vote on anything? They'll, you know, everybody in America is going to lean toward their right to vote on something. You know, that's just kind of the American mindset. And so, you know, when you ask people, do you want to vote on this or that? No wonder. I mean, you could set that question up on a myriad of topics and probably get results that you want. So, you know, is a lottery, popular? It's more popular than legalizing sports betting or proliferating casinos all across the state, certainly. But I don't think there's that big of a portion of the population of Alabama that wakes up every day just in depression over the fact that they have to drive across the state line to buy a lottery ticket. I don't see that everywhere I go. I don't hear that. You know, if you bring it up to them, yeah, they might say, well, I want this, but they're not getting up every day going to work on it.
No, but you're right. It's sort of you get a knee-jerk reaction when you pose the question, but it's not like, hey, we need to repave this road or widen this highway or whatever, where people are like solidly behind it if you did pull it. Because but they were always trying to create this perception that they were like rioting in the streets trying to get a lottery. They just want the right to vote on a lottery. And that to me was always fiction.
I agree. I totally agree with you. I think there's a very small minority. You're always going to hear from people who want something to change more than you're going to hear from the people who are status quo, so to speak. Because people who want change are working for something. And so you don't hear from the people who are sort of happy with not having a lottery and not having casinos and not having sports betting, inundating our society and lottery every time you walk into a convenience store, every other billboard. The people that are okay with not having that aren't out, you know, making a lot of noise. But the very few people who do want it, they're the ones that they hear from. But again, I think it's a very, very small minority, very small.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up on this, though. This is what I tell people all the time. You just don't want to give us the right to vote. But it's what I tell them is like, look, you don't know what this is. They are selling you one thing, but why do you think these people are putting all this extra money into a lottery push? It is so they can use the coattails for other things. That would be to get sports betting and more casinos.
Well, that's
Alabama.
Right.
But that's
once
where the
money
is.
Once you crack open the door, you're there. And I think it's funny as well, some of the people who think, well, it would be okay for them to have a casino up there, but we don't want one here. You know, I know Baldwin County, they were pretty clear. They didn't want a casino in Baldwin County. But look, here's the thing. The casino operators, they've never seen a body of water, much less a beach that they don't want a casino on. So if you think once we change the Constitution that they're not going to keep pushing and have even more influence than they do now to bring a casino to Baldwin County, boy, it's awful naive. I mean, just look at what they do in other states. They never stop pushing for more and more and more. And Baldwin County would be the prize of all prizes to have a casino there. And I think, some of the lakes, Smith Lake would be another one. Any of you that live around a body of water, a casino would be coming. It might not happen next year if they passed it, but it would happen. It would happen down the road. It would come.
Joined by Greg Davis from OutCap and Priority Talk Radio in Birmingham. Greg, let's move on. And I tried to follow this to the best of my abilities, but it's kind of out of my realm of expertise here. SBC weighed in on a number of things, as they usually do at their conference, the Southern Baptist Convention, that is. Talk a little bit about the IVF and what they're trying to convey. What's the message there that we need to know?
Yeah, well, the Southern Baptist Convention is a group of messengers or basically voters that come from churches all across the nation. Every church, is guaranteed to have, seats. And some send people, some don't. And so, it's a collection of people from all over the country. And they do pass resolutions. And that is just simply a look into that group of people at that particular time in that particular room that pass something or don't pass something. And so I wasn't able to attend the Southern Baptist Convention. Jeff, as you know, I represent Southern Baptist churches in the state of Alabama to the state legislature. I wasn't able to attend in Indianapolis. I did attend last year, but I did follow it quite closely. One of the frustrating things on this issue with IVF is how the media is portraying this as Southern Baptist, call for a ban on IVF. And that is absolutely not what happened. They passed a resolution that affirmed the dignity of preborn life. And condemned, sort of this careless and reckless destruction of or indefinite freezing of human embryos. You know, I don't think it's any surprise that Southern Baptists believe in the sanctity of life, and they believe in life at conception. And so, you know, when you're in this all sort of stem, this whole issue's come out of Alabama. It's come out of Mobile with the case that was filed down there where a couple's, embryos were destroyed. And so they filed a case, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, as you know, and was ruled that, hey, those are babies. And that's under the law. And I think they ruled rightly under the law. And so the real issue here, this basically was a conversation starter. Dr. Albert Moeller, who is the president of Southern Seminary up in Louisville, and probably the most vocal and probably the most influential voice in the Southern Baptist Convention across the country, brought this. And he's a thinker. He's a theologian. And so he brought this, to really start a conversation. Now, we've been having this conversation in Alabama because of the case that came down and, you know, the legislation that followed, which gave here in Alabama, which gave the IVF clinics really absolute immunity and put no sunset on it. And so we've been having this conversation in Alabama, but I believe Dr. Moeller's intention was to start a conversation nationwide about IVF among Southern Baptists. He has widely said that he doesn't think that most people have really thought through this. Even Southern Baptists who have used the services of IVF haven't really thought through it. You know, the question really comes down to what about the embryos that are not, put into the mother's womb and carried forward? What about those? They're being frozen. And so if you believe in life at conception, when the egg and the sperm come together, you have DNA there, it creates all kinds of issues. Ethical issues, moral issues, and most people just have not thought these through. The Catholic Church, as an institution, now I'm not saying every Catholic, but the Catholic Church is opposed to IVF because of these same issues. So Southern Baptists did not pass a resolution calling for the end of IVF. You see all these headlines. That is not what it was. It really was saying, hey, think about all of these issues that are out there. We need to have a conversation about this. And, there's got to be some boundaries put onto this. Look where it could lead to. I think that was the goal of Dr. Moeller. And I think those who were there and present and voted on that resolution last week.
And like, I know like where we are on the life and when life begins, but to me, this problem is resolved legally if our institutions ever make that formal declaration. And this is the problem. This is why this has been an issue for all these decades, right? Where will the Supreme Court or whoever the elite institution in America plant its flag and say, this is when life begins, and then everything else could kind of resolve from there, right? It's just a failure of our leadership to get this done.
Well, it really is. It's been unregulated. You know, even here in Alabama, to my knowledge, there's no database of how many, embryos have come or are there, how many are frozen, what's happened to them. You know, you can adopt them, but I don't think there's even a registry for that necessarily to show how many are being adopted. It's really been absolutely unregulated, and you're dealing with the most precious thing we have, which is human life. And the unconditional value, the resolution said the unconditional value and right to life of every human being, including those in embryonic stage, that's what this is about. And so what about the embryos that have already been brought forth that are frozen in perpetuity? And then what about going forward? To me, the real answer to this is you only bring together the number of embryos that you plan on carrying forward in the mother's womb, if that's 1, 2, 3. But the problem with that is it's not as efficient from a business standpoint or a procedure standpoint for the family. It's not as efficient to do it that way. It's better to create 10 or 15 and then, kind of test them. And that's a whole other issue of testing these embryos, male, female, eye color. You can really get in to the selective reduction of and really narrowing this down of designer children. These kind of issues are all very prominent. And so, the issue really comes down to you know, what about the embryos? And, you know, many in the legislature said, hey, passing the bill that we passed to get the clinics to reopen here in Alabama, because look, the Supreme Court ruling in Alabama did not close down the IVF clinics. They closed themselves down because they knew some of the practices they were carrying forward would now be against the law. And they put on a hard press to basically get total immunity. Now, Jeff, I don't know about you, but you have a lot of people on from different industries. I don't know one industry that wouldn't like to have total immunity to do business with. And so it's not as efficient to only create one or two or three. It's more efficient from a business standpoint, more effective to create 10 or 15 and then choose one or two. And then you get the child you want. And then, hey, who cares about the rest of them? We just leave them in a freezer somewhere in perpetuity. And if you believe that's human life, do you believe that's right? Is that really dignifying for that embryo / baby? I mean, that's really what the Supreme Court said. That embryo is a baby. And, you know, and if you're a pro-life person, not sort of pro-life or mostly pro-life, but if you are truly pro-life, that's got to bring many ethical and moral conflicts to your mind. And people say, well, it's a potential life, or it could be a life. Well, the Supreme Court said it is a life. You know, and the Bible does say, God told Jeremiah, he said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, in the first chapter of Jeremiah. So God knows us even before we're in our mother's womb. But what happens in a few years from now, when you have artificial wombs and they're able to take these embryos and put them into some type of artificial womb and bring forth a child from that? There's just all kinds of issues that go down. And you're right. Ultimately, who's going to decide this issue? It's probably going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court at some point. But the conversation had to be started among Southern Baptists, because that's who we're talking about. And I think Dr. Moeller, who I don't always agree on all issues, but I think Dr. Moeller, that's what his goal was. And I think he did start a conversation nationally. If you just go Google this and look, every news outlet in the country has got a story on it, whether the headline's correct or incorrect. Right. They've got a story on it. So it's a big issue, and people really need to think through it biblically.
Greg, we got to get here out of time, but before I let you go, folks want to check out what you got going on at OutCap, or if they want to tune into your podcast, tell them how to do so.
Yeah, just Priority Talk Radio. You'll find us, PriorityTalkRadio.com, and you can find all the ways to listen right there. Thank you, Jeff.
Greg Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, keep in touch.
Yes, sir.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. You big talking.